The Sfasem is quotes Ha'olel from his grandfather, the Chiddush Rehavim, about the Baruch She'asa Nisim L'Avoseinu Bayom Mahem Bazman Hazeh. So we say the Baruch, it doesn't really strike us as expressing anything especially remarkable. And the Chiddush Rehavim, Kedaka Bakodesh, says if you sort of juxtapose it, the first bracha that the Mishnah mentions in Perek Haroa, if a person comes to a place where Haroa Mokom, where miracles happened for Klal Yisrael, so a person says, Baruch She'asa Nisim L'Avoseinu B'Mokom Hazeh. So when you make such a bracha, Baruch She'asa Nisim L'Avoseinu B'Mokom Hazeh, it means you're in that actual Mokom. It means that a person is standing, right? Like he's standing in the actual spot where the nace occurred. So says the Chiddush Rehavim, assuming that Bazman Hazeh, She'asa Nisim L'Avoseinu Bayom Mahem Bazman Hazeh, is to be understood as literally and with the same exactitude as B'Mokom Hazeh, so it means it's in this actual time. What do you mean it's in this actual time? It's not this day, it's this is Chaf Hei Kislev, Hei Toshin Samothes. And the miracles happened more or less two millennia ago, so it's sort of the anniversary. It's not Mamish. When it's B'Mokom Hazeh, so you're in that actual spot. When it's Zman, it's sort of the anniversary of the day. So says the Chiddush Rehavim, no. So you see, it's the actual Zman. It's the same Zman, the same qualities of time, the same properties of time, the same opportunities which the time possessed 2,000 years ago or so in the times of the Chashmon Noam. So that same, again, those same skulos hazman, those same tchunos hazman, have all chozos v'nei oros every year on Hanukkah. So this is a very, very important yisod in the Jewish calendar in general. The Hainu, that we believe that the time isn't homogeneous. It's not that time is all the same, and the Torah just imposes different chiyuvim on different occasions. But really, time itself is something which is pariv, and something which is homogeneous, but rather that the time itself has certain inherent or intrinsic qualities. And lav dafka, that every day has the same qualities as a different day. The time is heterogeneous. That's what underlies when we talk about Kedusha Sayom. So that's what we really mean it in a very literal sense, that the day itself, that the time itself is Kadosh. The time itself has Kedusha. And that, of course, is one expression, again, of this yisod, of the heterogeneity of time. The time has intrinsic qualities which generate special mitzvahs chiyuvim, and together with those special mitzvahs and chiyuvim, special opportunities in terms of our avodas Hashem. So that's true. What the Chiddush Rehavim is telling us is that's true. That's also clearly what underlies what Chazal say in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dir Hashem v'yimotzo, Elo aseres yomim shebin Rosh Hashanah liyom ha-kippurim, that from our perspective, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us. Again, it means that these days are not the same days as the other 344 days or so of the year, but they have some, again, special skula, they have special tchunos, and with it, special chiyuvim and opportunities. And this is not just limited to days of Kedusha Sayom, but even Chanukah and Purim. She'asa Nisim L'Avoseinu Bayom Mahem Bazman Hazeh, this day, with its special character, that's the same day on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the miracles for the Chashmon Noim. So it follows that in order to take advantage of the opportunities in terms of Avodas Hashem on any of these red letter days in the calendar, so we have to understand what the special qualities, what the special opportunities of that time are. If a person goes through Aseres Yimei Tshuva without knowing that that's what they are, okay, so maybe he's a Yid who's Osek in Tshuva all year long, as we should be, and maybe he will partially take advantage of it, but he's obviously not going to fully take advantage of it, because he doesn't realize that above and beyond the extent, the degree to which Tshuva preoccupies him all year long, that it's supposed to be the focus during these 10 days. If a person doesn't know that the avoda of Pesach, again, above and beyond the fact that this is a perennial part of one's avodas Hashem, but to work on one's emunah, the Pesach is a time which is mesugal for that, so then we can't take full advantage of it. Now generally, there is a convergence between the sort of historical background of the day, right? The historical context of the mitzvah sayom, of the Yom Tov, and what the day represents in terms of its opportunity in Avodas Hashem. Shavuos, again, historically, is a day of Zman Matan Toraseinu, and hence its skula and the special emphasis and the special focus in terms of Avodas Hashem in that day is obviously to intensify, to deepen one's kesher to Torah. So let's try to identify perhaps one facet of the mitzvahs hayom in terms of Avodas Hashem of Chanukah. Only one of one element of it. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Perek Gimel, "Bevayis ksheinik shemalcha yavan gozu gezeros al Yisrael ubitlu dosam v'lo hinichu osam lasak b'torah v'mitzvahs u'poshtu yodam b'mamonam u'bivnoseihem v'nichnesu laheichel u'portzu b'portzus v'timu ataros." Continues. So what's the background here? So first of all, the Malcha Yavan goes with Gzeres al Yisrael bitlu dasam. So presumably that's an allusion to the Gzeres against Shabbos, the Gzeres against Bris Mila. V'lo hinichu osam lasak b'torah b'mitzvahs asering Talmud Torah. Poshtu yadam, let's skip the word b'mamonam for a minute and jump over to u'bivnoseihem. So that's an allusion to the Gemara in Ksuvis, that horrific decree of Besula Hanisais is Tiboy Allah Hegmon Tchila. So first of all, it's very remarkable that in this list, so basically they attacked the very foundations of a Torahic existence, Shabbos. Without Shabbos, there's no Yiddishkeit. There's no Klal Yisrael. Without Shabbos, it doesn't. The Rav Zichron Levracha used to say that we've existed for almost 2 millennia without the Beis Hamikdash, albeit in a b'di'evadik fashion. But without Shabbos, we wouldn't last. There would be no kiyum without Shabbos. So they attacked Shabbos, Bismillah, mamish, the foundations of a Torah way of life. Poshtu yodam bivno sehem. Again, the kedusha v'tahara, again, which is the foundation of everything. And in this context, the Rambam says poshtu yodam b'mamonah. And not only that. And in addition to all that, you know what they did? They took our money also. Not only did they say we couldn't keep Shabbos, and not only Rachman al-Itzlan, Poshli Yodam, Bivno Seyim, but you know what? Mamish, they hit us in the pocketbook also. So it's an amazing thing that the Rambam includes this in the same list. As it were, almost to highlight the chiddush of the inclusion, so the Rambam even, with his stylistic genius, uses the same verb for the recording the gzera of Sula Hanises Tiboyal la Hegmon Trila of Poshtu Yodam Bivnoseyem. So the Amram uses that same phrase of Poshtu Yodam Bimamonam Ubivnoseyem. Almost as if, I don't know, almost as if the Rambam is suggesting some kind of moral equivalence, obviously. Not that literally, but the very fact that it's in the list, that it's in the same phrase, with the same verb of Poshtu Yadam, even if you sort of break down the translation and you translate it in English with two different verbs, but it remains something very, very remarkable. So I think, in terms of what we'll discuss now for a few minutes, I think maybe the ha'ara and the question is better than the perspectives that we'll discuss now, and makom anu manichim. There is a famous Bach in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, where the Bach is commenting on the Torah, quotes the Maharam, that the Maharam in Rutenberg says that there's no mitzvah simcha in Chanukah, and the seudos, which people are knowing to have in Chanukah, are seudos rishus. Unlike Purim, the seudos don't have the status of seudos mitzvah. The simple reading of the Rambam would seem to indicate that the Rambam disagrees with that, but maybe not. But the simple reading of the Rambam is that the Rambam refers to Chanukah as Yimei Simcha. But Maharam certainly says that that's not the case. And again, the seudos on Chanukah, Keshela Atzman, unless they're infused with Divrei Torah and Shiros V'Sishbachos, and elevated thereby, are certainly only begeder seudos rishus. So the Bach says, why is that? Why is there a mitzvah seudah in Purim, not a mitzvah seudah in Chanukah? Again, so he gives the famous answer. He says, because Purim, everything, the whole drama from its original catalyst, what instigated it originally, all the way down to the observance, everything plays out on the physical level. The chait was that nanu misudas oso rasha, the nanu misudas achashverosh, that they sinned, again, in terms of physical hanoah, illicit hanoah that they derived. That's why they were threatened with physical extinction. And that's why part of the tikkun had to be the tsumu alai al tochu al tishtu shloshes yomim laila vayom. And that's why ultimately in the observance of the Yom Tov, as everything else, again, that it played out on the physical level. Hence there's a mitzvah suda. Masha in Kain, he says, on Chanukah, he says what precipitated the tzaros was the fact that there was a hisrashlus in terms of the avoda, and specifically in Beis HaMikdash, that's why that was the target of the Xeros, and the Yevonim made a point of being the Boba Pritzim, the Chedaluha, they made a point of being Metame and Mechalel, whatever they could. So everything was playing out on the spiritual level. They had to be Mosa Nefesh for the Taharas HaAvoda, and that's why the mitzvah is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, again, an extension of the Mitzvahs Menorah Sheba Mikdash. So that's what the Bach says. Basically, the Bach doesn't really factor in the Rambam's Poshtu Yadim B'Mamonim. So he's just describing how everything plays out on a spiritual level. But what the Bach sort of reminds us, Be'etzem, it's a Gemara in Sota, is that if we're trying to reconstruct what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Toveya, or was being Toveya, so as the Gemara in Sota says, that b'mida sha'adam modeh is modin lo, because kol midos of shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mida keneged mida. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is commensurate, is with the mida of governance, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu governs the world, is with mida keneged mida. So that's what the Bach is explaining, how you have that symmetry of the mida keneged mida, both in Purim and in Chanukah. Again, this mida keneged mida, I think last year in Brachos, we learned the Gemara that if a person has yisurim and he's mefashpesh b'maisa, if he doesn't find anything, so yitla b'bitl Torah. So what does that mean? Bitl Torah is also an oven. So what does it mean he didn't find anything? So Chaim V'Lashana explains, again, with this same yisod of kol midos of shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mida keneged mida, he says, if a person, rachman atzlan, has a pain in his hand. So that pain, those yisurim, are intended as a kapara for some kind of misdeed, either of action or inaction, which he committed with the hand, Rachmana Litzlan. So let's say a person was Darish V'cholka, and he can't think of anything that he did wrong with the hands. Then he says, Yitle B'Bitul Torah. That's Pshat Yitle B'Bitul Torah, because Bitul Torah can affect any part of the body. So that's what it means. He went through the whole list of mitzvahs in Shulchan Aruch, which has to do with that Eva Hagluf. He didn't find anything, so he should know that Bitul Torah can affect anything. Okay, so that's the Yisod, the Kol Midos of Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, is Mida Keneged Mida. That's how the Bach says that we should understand Purim, Chanukah, everything through that prism. So let's come back to the Rambam, to the Poshtu Yodam Bim Mamonam. So apparently, if we're to, and again, it's not only the Bach, it's the Gemara and Sota. The Bach was just reminding us of it in the context of Chanukah. So if we're to reconstruct, if the Gezerah and the persecution and the suffering manifested itself, among other things, through Poshtu Yadam B'Mamonam, so then clearly part of the assimilation be made by Yasheni was in the area of Mamon as well. And hence, again, the same way, if there was a Hisrashlus Ba'avoda, so Avoda was targeted, if Bimei Mordechai Ve'Esther's Nana Misudas Achashverosh, so then their very physical survival. So if there was assimilation with regard to Mamon, so then the Gezeiros targeted Mamon as well. Because Kol Midos of Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Mida Keneged Mida. I don't know specifically in what respect they assimilated with regard to their attitude towards Mamon, but maybe let's perhaps review a few Dvarim Pshutim in terms of our attitude towards Mamon, and presumably it was in one or not, if not all of these areas in which they had assimilated Bimei by Yesheni. The first perspective is offered by the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi has a very beautiful comment on the pasuk of the Yikchuli Truma. So the Beis HaLevi, as other Meforshim, take cue from the fact that the Torah should have said, presumably, the Yitnali Truma, right? You don't take a contribution, you give a contribution. So if we're being called upon to contribute to the Mishkan, it should have said, the Yitnali Truma. So what's Pshad, the Yikchuli Truma? So the Beis HaLevi says very, very powerfully, he says, the only thing that a person has from his money is that which it gives away. The only thing which a person, again, can hold on to, the only thing which remains or which is ever rightfully his from a person's money is that which he gives to tzedakah. If a person gives to tzedakah, so thereby he acquires something for himself. Otherwise, he says it's not his. He quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra, that Munbaz Hamelech Bizveis Kol Otzos Hamelech Letzdaka, that he opened the treasuries, the royal treasuries, and he gave all the money away to Tzedakah. He says that Avosai Gonzu L'Acherim, Ani Gonazti L'Atzmi. He says my ancestors, they amassed wealth for others. Meaning what? Meaning that eventually they died. They didn't take it with them. They left the money there. So the Gonzu L'Acherim, so they amassed wealth for others. It says, Masha and Cain, Ani Ganasti Latzmi. He says, I amassed wealth for myself. How did he amass wealth for himself? He gave it away. And the Beis HaLevi gives a very, very, again, powerful mashal. He says, Mashal Ma'adav Adom. He says, imagine that you have a large lump of sugar, very large lump of sugar. And the large lump of sugar is in a closed trunk. Next to that, inside the trunk, together with the sugar, is a fly. So the fly is free to walk over this large lump, this large cube of sugar. It can eat whatever its capacity is to eat from the sugar. But he says, "Hagatz mechasez beis halevi hayispoer hazvuv." Is the fly gonna glorify itself by saying, "Oh, look how wealthy I am"? What do you mean, look how wealthy? He can't take the sugar with him. He's confined to this area with the sugar, and he can't even make use of the entire sugar. So he says that's exactly the relationship that exists between a person and his money. We're confined in an argos, we're confined in olam hazeh with the money. You can't take it. There's nothing to. It doesn't mean anything. The only thing it means is if v'yitnu li truma. That's one perspective. Another perspective that the Gemara in Taina says. The pasuk in Sefer Dvarim of Yitzav Hashem Yitzchas Habrocha Ba'asa Mecha. So the Gemara says that Ein Habrocha Mitzuya Ela B'Dava Hasomoy Min Ha'ayin Lo B'Dava Hamodur V'Hamonoy V'Hashokol Ela B'Dava Hasomoy Min Ha'ayin. And this is, it sounds like a shtickel agoda, but when you look at the Gemara in context, in Tainus, it's not. It's said in context of halacha. Halacha is like this, that hanichnas lomud esgorno, a person is going in to gather up all the wheat from the threshing floor. So before he does that, before he gathers it up and sees how many bushels of wheat he has, so then he can say a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send bracha b'masa yadav. But if he's already gathered up all the wheat, and now he's already got it in these big bags, and each one he knows holds a bushel, he knows exactly how much he has, so then the Gemara says, if he'll say the tefillah at this point, it's a tefillah shav. And then the Gemara proceeds to quote this drasha, that ein habracha mitzuya ela b'dava somay min ha'ayin. So it's not stam... The Gemara says that it underlies this halacha that the tefillah that shatishlach bracha b'masa yadai is only a reasonable tefillah before his modei. But once you're dealing with a dava hamodur, the dava hamonui, a dava hashokul, measured, counted, or weighed, so then you can't ask for bracha. Why? Because bracha is only literally dava somi minai in something which is hidden from view. So the Mori Naim explains that there's a double entendre here in what Dava Hasomim Min Ha'ayin means. Dava Hasomim Min Ha'ayin, again, on its most simple level, means that as long as the wheat is sort of scattered all over the threshing floor, so a person doesn't really, he doesn't know how much he has. So in that sense, the exact amount is Hasomim Min Ha'ayin, is hidden. He says, what does it mean on a deeper level? It means like this. A person knows how much he has. Okay, so I know I have 20 bushels. I know I have 200 bushels of wheat. That was the yield of my crop this year. And I know what what wheat is selling for on the market. So I'm already cheshbonning how much money I'm going to be able to make by selling the wheat. So what's my bitachon? What's my security? Look, I have all these bushels of wheat. He says, if a person wants bracha, so a person can't associate his hatzlacha, his security, with this dava hamodur, this dava hamoni, dava hashokol. It has to be b'dava somim min ha'ayin. A person's betochen has to be an HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person wants shifas panosa, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited. If I limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being tola my betochen in a bushel of wheat, in my bank book, in my bank statement, in the statement... Which lists my investments, so that dava hamodur, that dava hamoni, that dava hashokol, so there's not going to be bracha. Bracha has to be with dava hasomi min ha'ayin. That's a second. We'll review shortly, bli nedar. A third comment. The Gemara in Chagiga says that. Darshan's apostle from Navi Yeshayo, and the Gemara says that Melamed Shechaza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kol Midos Tovos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, he opened his playbook of Midos. He opened his book of all the Midos Tovos that he has available, that he could bestow upon Klal Yisrael. And the one that he found was the best was Aniyus. And that's what he gave to Klal Yisrael. He gave Klal Yisrael Aniyus. Then the Gemara goes on to say, and that's the basis for the statement, that Yo'ah Aniyusa LeYehuda'i. That Aniyus No'ah LeYehudim. So what's the composite picture or attitude that emerges from these things? So clearly, what the Beis Halevi is telling us is that the only tachlis and the only kiyum that money offers is to the extent that it facilitates Torah and mitzvahs, and that anything beyond that is nothing. Anything beyond that is the rest of the lump of sugar that's sitting there next to the fly. It's not that money is there to bankroll our pursuit of tanugim and luxury and indulgence. That has no kiyum. The yitnu li truma. So that's what the kiyum of money is. In our society, and it wouldn't be surprising if the same would had been true in Greek society as well. So basically, money serves two purposes. Two purposes why people want lots of money. One is, again, because it bankrolls the pursuit of tanugim. A hedonistic style of life comes with a certain price tag. It's an expensive lifestyle. So you need to be able to bankroll it. And second of all, it's an end unto itself. It's its own avodah zarah. People who have more than enough money to basically do whatever they want to have more money. And ad kedei kach, they want to have more money, that they place themselves at risk to try to get them more money. It's such a sad, frightening spectacle. Just, it becomes an end unto itself. It becomes its own value just to amass more and more wealth. So says the Beis Halevi, v'yitnu li truma. We should know that the only thing that we have from money is what we use, what we give away in terms of Torah and mitzvahs. There's also, and this is a very big nisayon, even for those of us who on our own level try to a little bit to have some shaychus to emunah, it's a very big nisayon. What the Moray Naim tells us of Eina Abrocha Metsuya Elevadava Hasomoy Mena Ayin, it's very hard if a person knows that he has locked away in federally insured accounts so much and so much money, it's very hard not to let that be the basis of one's security. A person thinks to himself, I have so much in these federally insured accounts, and I have so much in my retirement accounts, and so much in the IRAs, and so much in this, and so much in that. It's very hard for that not, for a person to prevent that from being, providing the basis for his security. And that's what the Moray Naim says, that Eina Bach Mitzri Ela B'Dava Somoy Min Ayin. A person can never, ever trust in, again, adava hamodud, adava hamonu. It doesn't matter how many dollars a person counts up. Nothing provides a person with security. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam does. The third, the Gemara Chagiga of Yoah and Yusuf Yehudai. So that's not something which most of us, Baruch Hashem, have ever experienced. So what are the implications of that Maim Chazal for us? That you have to sort of find out what's considered the poverty line in America and burn the rest of your money because we're above the poverty line? So presumably not. So what is the relevance of that Maim Chazal to us if the Ribbono Shel Olam sees fit that in our tkufa, in this galus, so most of us don't deal with it. So l'chora, two things. First of all, we have to recognize that if Yoah and Yusuf Yisrael, that while it may be a bracha as well, it's also an nisayon. That we should realize that the comfort that we enjoy, and relative to previous generations and previous galios, certainly most if not all of them, previous galios, the comfort that we enjoy that we should recognize that that's a nisayon. Because if you're on the Yusuf Yisrael, if the sort of natural state of affairs is anius, and we find ourselves in a different state of affairs, so then it's very important, again, to recognize that there's a nisayon. There's a nisayon not to be spoiled. Spoiled in a spiritual sense by the comfort we enjoy. Not to fall prey to Avas Olam Hazah, again, which as the Chovas HaLevavos says, is Avas Olam Hazah and Avas Olam Haba are no more compatible than fire and water, the Chovas HaLevavos says. So first of all, to recognize that it is a Nisayon and to therefore brace ourselves to deal with it. The other practical implication of the fact that we shouldn't think of it as a natural state of affairs, that we have this level of physical and financial comfort, that we shouldn't just think that that's natural and take it for granted, is that we should recognize what's natural, so a person doesn't ask himself, well, what am I supposed to do with this? If you sit down to eat breakfast and you have a bowl of cereal, okay, so you know what to do with it. There's nothing out of the ordinary, so you don't think twice about it. If when you encounter something which you consider out of the ordinary, so then it starts a person thinking, what am I supposed to do with this? So recognizing that the natural state of affairs is Yara Yusel Yisrael, so then we have to realize that when we have more than that, that this isn't something to take for granted. There's some kind of shlichus there. There's some kind of challenge that we should be using that and taking advantage of that. Precisely in which of these areas Bimei Bayesheni they had gone astray, don't know. But either way, Chanukah is certainly a time, it's a time of Tahara, a time to be Metara ourselves, and Bein HaYeser, it's also very fundamental, again, to the whole Torah way of life, what our attitude towards Mammon is. A person doesn't, again, the Gemara in Chagiga also tells us, a person doesn't pursue wealth, a person doesn't choose parnasa by which professions seem to be more likely to give him, to provide him with wealth. And again, whether it's the V'yitnli Truma, the Eina Bocha Mitzuya Ela B'dova Hasomui Min HaAyin, or the recognition that since Yohan Yusali Yisrael, that A, when it isn't the case, so we have to realize there's an Nisayon involved with that, and B, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to ask, well, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to be doing of that? So these are questions that there is a special opportunity on Chanukah to reflect upon and to make sure that we're on the right path with regard to these inyanim.